episode 10 of Fly Away, a weekly podcast from Outlander Travel about the thing we love most, travel. Each week we'll talk about different adventures and vacation options out there, some local, some more exotic. And why don't you join us as we chat about our own travels and those of our clients. And hopefully, who knows, our talks will help you dream, plan, and get on out there. My name's Andy, and this week I'm joined by fellow Outlander travel agents Elizabeth, Amy, and Sandy. Our topic today is the great state of Alaska. It's a very popular destination for many reasons, including its natural beauty and its outstanding wildlife. In fact, for many people, it's one of the ultimate bucket list items. It's a big state, and we just wanted to talk about some of the various travel options out there that will help you maximize your stay in Alaska. So Alaska is one of the newer states in the Union, the 49th state, but it has over 10,000 years of history and very, very popular destination. And there are so many different ways of doing it, of visiting Alaska. Who wants to sort of mention something? What are your favorite ways, Elizabeth? What do you think would be the best way to do it?
I don't know if it's my favorite, but I will say that it's a wonderful way to see it, or at least a really small corner of it, and that's cruising. I think that's what most people think of. They want to do an Alaskan cruise. Mm-hmm. And I think this dates back to the Love Boat, and they're, you know, they had one episode a year where they went to Alaska and everybody watched that episode. Do you guys not remember that?
No.
I think that's when Alaska sort of became in vogue for cruising.
I just remember Puerto Vallarta.
Yeah, no, well, they did that too.
That was like Hawaii every episode. Too.
Yeah, no, but they would do a special Alaska one, and I think it sort of made it seem much more accessible, and in many ways it does make it seem accessible because Alaska seems so far away, and it is very big. I mean, it's, just reading my notes here, it's 365 million acres. So it's a huge state, and really, and a cruise will show you a small part of that.
Yeah. If you do, most round trip cruises turn around in Skagway. And if you do a one way cruise, you're going to go 500 miles further, which is, I know this because I just did this. It's from here to Pittsburgh. So, you know, if you go all the way up to Anchorage. So that's huge. I mean, just that one state.
But of course, there are a lot of things to consider, though, when you're visiting Alaska. I mean, the seasons are a little bit different and can be a little bit challenging. What's the primary season really sort of from May to September?
Yeah, summer is really when most people go.
I've read Into the Wild. You really don't want to get caught up in Alaska and getting into winter. Mm-hmm. And also, you do run the risk of rain. I was reading something the other day that saying that you know, a lot of places, if you book a shore excursion, even in the Caribbean, if it's raining, they may cancel it, depending on what it is. In Alaska, they very seldom cancel.
Yeah, it's rainforest.
Shore excursions because of the rain, because it's just so, happens so frequently. And it's part and parcel of being up in the great state of Alaska.
Yeah, and that is, I mean, the Inside Passage, quite a bit of that is, which is where cruises go, all of them, that's a lot of rainforest, it rains a lot there, and it's not like pouring, you know, thunderstorm rain, it's sort of drizzly, you know, annoying rain, so.
Amy's making that face.
Yeah, Amy's cold, like, it's too wet. Cold.
If it's from England, I'd probably be right at home in Alaska.
Yeah, you would, actually. Well, you know, interestingly, and this is the other thing, is people hear Alaska and they think, oh, it's cold. And I'm not saying it's not cold. And Alaska goes pretty far north. So if you're going up into Alaska, up into Nome and up, you know, all the way up into Fairbanks and all that, then yes, it is cold. But actually the average climate, I mean, even in January in Anchorage, which is south, it's sort of on the south coast, is 22 degrees Fahrenheit. It's still below freezing, but it's not like, it's not like 30 below.
Well, so in the summer, you're thinking, I think they said the average temperature is in the 50s.
Low 60s.
You know, wear your layers. You'll be fine. Mm-hmm. You know, they have heat.
But it would make a nice change. I mean, we're predominantly based in the southeast of the United States, where it's
and
100
it's
degrees here in Columbia, South Carolina today. You know, 50 degrees sounds pretty good to me.
And in the summer, it's daylight for so long, you know, like 20 hours a day or something. So I have friends who do races there, and they said that's one of the hardest things about doing a race in Alaska is that you get off of your sleep cycle, for one thing, from the time change, but also it's not night, you know, so it just never. I mean, I think my grandfather told me once that when he was there, he was golfing at like 2 a.m. So, yeah.
Yeah, and even on the shortest day of the year, it's, you know, 7.5 hours of daylight. It's still, you know, it's still, because it's so far north. So now that said, also, and, you know, I think we're going to talk mostly about summer travel today, because that really is the best and easiest time to go. It's when most things are happening and everything will be open. But if you want to see the Northern Lights, that is something you can do in Alaska. Mm-hmm. I think we often think of Iceland and Norway, and but you can go the other way as well. And
You can go all the way up to the Arctic Circle. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, okay, for someone like me who knows nothing about Alaska, I'm learning. Where do you go? You fly into where? Anchorage? Is that like the place you want to go into? And what do you do? Like, is there a lot of things to do in Anchorage? Mm-hmm.
There are a lot of things to do in Anchorage. You can start a one-way cruise in Anchorage, or you can end a one-way cruise in Anchorage. You can also do round-trip cruises from, like, Vancouver or Seattle, San Francisco. But, yeah, Anchorage has, you know, a lot of museums, and it's the downtown is kind of easy to get around. Yeah, one of the things that I thought was cool when I learned about Anchorage was that you can rent fishing equipment downtown, and you know, people go out on their lunch breaks and they go fishing for salmon right there through that river in the middle of downtown. And you can have it packed up and sent back home. Mm-hmm. So, and they'll, you know, pack it up, put it on ice. And
you can rent everything. You don't have to bring anything with you. You can rod, galoshes, the whole deal. You can just get it all. So there's also a lot of trails. 135 miles of trails, and yes, I am reading that. I'm cheating, but and with bike rentals available as well. So if you really do like to hike, and so, Alaska is really extraordinarily beautiful, so it's a great place to do outdoor activities. A lot of food options. There's a pretty vibrant craft beer scene in Anchorage, there's a zoo and golf courses. And there are 1,500 moose in Anchorage.
Well, are there residents in Anchorage?
Mm-hmm. Are there people there?
There are people there. They hide, I think, in the summer.
The thing that attracts me, some interest me about Anchorage, obviously it's Alaska, that they've got a long and storied history, but it's the Inuit people up there. And there's a very interesting looking Alaskan Native Heritage Center that teaches you all about the native Alaskan way of life.
Alaska is like Hawaii in that you don't need a passport to just fly in to Alaska.
Correct.
But if you cruise, might you need your passport for that? Are you visiting?
If you're departing from Vancouver, yes. If you're departing from Seattle, no. Well, but it's highly recommended. It's always highly recommended.
And if you're departing from Seattle, it's very likely you're stopping in Canada at some point along the way. So, yeah, you might want it just in case.
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
and then where do you get the dog sled? Where's the dog sledding? I know my mother did that on her Alaskan cruise. She did the dog sledding.
Yeah, the Iditarod.
Well, you can actually, most cruise ships will offer it as an excursion, and you can do excursions from Anchorage as well to go up onto a glacier. In the summer, the dogs are moved up on top of a glacier, and they live in their huts and kennels up on top of the glacier, and they mush every day. And so tourists can come up and actually mush with the dogs. And I highly encourage people who have been critical or heard critical things about dog racing. I mean, there's always bad people in anything, but if you go up there and see these dogs, there would be no doubt in your mind how happy they are to drag your American butt behind them. I mean, they just really love to do what they do. It makes them so happy. It's, you know,
if that's what their instinct is, then, you know, that's like a, you know, like a herding dog is going to be happy herding, or dogs like to work, but
And your mother loved that. Not stop talking about it.
It's amazing. And honestly, there's not very many times in your life you can say, I'm standing on a glacier. And so that's, and you know, this ice is
moving
eons. Yes. And so old. I mean, you know, just what you're standing on is forming the earth and has been forming the earth for a very long time. So it's science nerdy greatness, and these great crevasses. I mean, you can look down, and most of them are not large enough for a person to fall into, fortunately for me, but they're like super, super deep in this beautiful, like, blue ice. You've never seen ice this blue, and just amazing to look at. So the first time I went to Alaska, I actually didn't do any dog sledding. That wasn't even an option back then, I don't think, or if it was, I totally was not aware of it. But I did do a helicopter tour to the top of a glacier, and we just walked around and we talked about, you know, what the glacier was and how they move and how they behave, which sounds kind of weird for a block of ice, but
no, it's cool that way. But I know some cruise lines, Princess, I just did training on, they bring national park rangers mm-hmm. on board, and they will answer questions and they'll talk about the different things that you're seeing, because Glacier Bay is actually a national park. So yeah, the glaciers are the number one thing people want to see in Alaska, and then they want to see the wildlife. And there was one other thing I can't remember what it was.
And there's a lot of history up there.
Yeah.
I mean, I think you people forget, you know, they think about the wildlife and the glaciers and the scenery. But there's a lot of, you know, there's the whole gold rush up there, the Klondike gold rush.
Right.
Skagway's a big destination for that. And a lot of people sort of are sort of interested in that sort of that frontier living
right.
Aspect of travel. You know, it's just, you've got, I mean, obviously you've got the scenery and you've got that, but you've also got, you know, people went out there in droves in the 19th century, early 20th century to pan for gold and try and make their fortune out there. And, you know, there's still that sort of, that legacy mm-hmm. left behind. And, you know,
and it's,
I'd love to see that. I'd love to be out there.
There's so many parts that are so remote too. Like Juneau is the capital and you can't get to it by road. You have to get to it by a cruise or a plane.
Well, a boat or a plane.
Or both. It doesn't have to be a cruise.
Yeah,
I guess,
you can.
But yeah, I mean, that's amazing to me that, you know, that's the capital of the state and that's how that is.
Well, and I think a lot of us forget how close to Russia Alaska is.
Yeah,
it's really not that far.
You can see it from your
house. Yeah, you can totally see it from your house. kidding. But there is a Russian culture there as well. I mean, it is very, very close on one end to Russia, and towns like Sitka, you know, you'll have Russian architecture. And so there's more history to it than sort mm-hmm. of the American history for sure. And definitely more culture than you might expect. You know, I think we do sort of pigeonhole Alaska. And it really offers a lot more than that. You were talking about national parks, and I know that Sandy loves national parks. And Amy, you were asking what to do in Anchorage. Chugach State Park is actually near Anchorage, I guess in Anchorage technically. But then there's other national parks, 5 within an easy reach of Anchorage. So definitely, if you are a park kind of person and you want to get back to nature, Alaska can
Denali is the biggest, and it's gorgeous, and you can take a train up in there, and just, I mean, it's huge and there's so much to see. There's
and you do need to allow extra time for that. You can't just get off the ship in Anchorage. You aren't even in Anchorage when you get off the ship, by the way.
Right.
You're probably either in Seward or Whittier, mm-hmm. which are further down, further south than Anchorage, and then you'd have to get up to Anchorage to either fly out, or if you start in Anchorage, to get down to one of those ports.
That's one of those cruise tours.
Right.
Yes, cruise tours. There's other transfers available as well, there's train options. And it's possible to stay in places like Whittier and Seward. There's some beautiful resorts down that way, and there's a lot of wildlife down there as well. I was going to say lions and tigers and bears, but it's really just bears.
Just polar bears and moose.
Just bears and moose.
Maybe some eagles.
And moose, yeah. Well, speaking of moose, at the start of our podcast tonight, you said you touched on something I really couldn't relate to. You mentioned the love boat.
Yeah.
Is that what you mentioned, where they went up there?
Yeah.
That never really aired in the UK. So that's not my point of reference, but my pop culture reference for Alaska is one of my favorite TV shows, Northern Exposure.
I love
that show. I'm still singing the theme song in my head right now. But that was filmed up in Alaska, and you know, things like that people can relate to are big attractions. And the thing I like about Talkeetna, which I think is where some Northern Exposure was filmed, they have the beautifully named the Moose Dropping Festival. And this is just something, you know, you go to these places, they're exotic, but they're still part of the United States, and it's held in July each year. And The event was named after a lottery where participants bet on numbered varnished pieces of moose droppings that were dropped from a helicopter onto a target. I mean, you couldn't make this stuff up.
That sounds like the cow patty just... bingo.
Yes, exactly.
That's a southern thing.
Yeah.
You know, I'm...
It's true. And I do think, you know, I think we also watched Northern Exposure and thought everyone in Alaska was just a little bit off. And yeah. I don't know.
Like they wore like visors in the winter to simulate sunlight.
Yeah. And of course, that's not completely true, but it's not that Alaska is without its characters either. So definitely. Yeah. And Talkeetna, I think, is sort of a worthwhile stop if you really want to sort of explore Alaska, you know, moving up into the country, then yeah, it's very, very cool.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I'll go now. Okay. I'll go in the summer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not going to be hot.
Well, let's see.
Is bathing suit? Is that...
I'm trying to, let me find the warmest month.
They have,
I think you'd have a wonderful time.
You'd like it, Amy. I mean, so... You'd have your hot cocoa on your balcony when you're watching the glaciers go by. You'd like it.
And that is something about cruising too, is it is one of the best ways to see the Inside Passage because most of it is on the water. And so, and for people who complain about getting seasick, it's not river cruising, but it's close. I mean, you're close to the land the whole time. You're always within sight of the land. So you're not out there rocking and rolling on the open ocean. So it's definitely a worthwhile way to do it. You do want a balcony.
Yeah, you
do definitely. And most cruise ships will have a running commentary of some sort, and they'll certainly announce things like there's a whale off the starboard side of the ship. And I've seen whales breaching. I've got video of a whale tail flipping up in the water, and it's cool. It's cool.
When did you go? What time of year?
The first time I went in September, and that was actually by accident. My ship had issues. I was supposed to go in August, and we were put on a different ship. And then the second time I went in June. And I will say, I recommend if you can afford to go mid-season, it's more expensive. But if you can afford to go mid-season, you will see more because as the season is beginning or dwindling, then, you know, the salmon may not quite be running yet or maybe done. And so it decreases the likelihood of you seeing bears, which actually is probably okay.
I never see bears. I've been to Yosemite twice and I never see bears.
See, you have the bear thing. I have the alligator thing. Never see them. I didn't see any alligators in Alaska either, just as a point of reference.
I'm going to take you to the Huntington Beach State Park in Pawleys Island, and you'll see a bajillion.
You'll be surprised at how you see no alligators whatsoever. You'll be like, where'd they all go? No. But yeah, otters, dolphins, you know, birds of all sorts. It was the first place I'd ever seen a bald eagle. Now I've seen bald eagles here in North Carolina, but I know, but they weren't when I was a kid. It was very rare to see them. So, and there's wildlife refuge areas where they actually, you know, and there's rescue places. So lots of opportunities to see animals, but I have not seen a bear in Alaska. So if anybody's afraid that they're going to just turn the corner and see a bear, it's not very likely. I will say almost everywhere we went, they warned us.
You need to take you with us.
Take me. You won't see a bear. Yeah. When we went to Yosemite last summer, my little cousins went off into the woods to pee and saw a bear, and I did not see a bear.
Maybe they lied.
I kept telling them it wasn't a bear, it was a dog, but they insisted. But yeah, that's happened twice now. Two times everyone else saw one but me. If you go,
You know, to see the most, sort of that end of June and July period, and then maybe the beginning of August is the best time to go. And that's also, I mean, obviously that's the warmest time as well. But if you want to cut corners a little bit cost-wise, then you can pay a little bit less if you cruise in late May, early June. Or
just depends on, like, how much of a bucket list it is and if you think you're going to go back. I mean, if you think you're going to go back, maybe. But... if it's like, I mean, my parents want to go next summer and it's probably the only time they're good. Like when they went to Hawaii, my dad did everything he wanted to do. So he never has to go back.
So, what a chore it would be to go back to Hawaii.
Oh, it is kind of a chore dragging my mom there. So yeah, this will be one
listening
moment.
Mom.
Yeah. My mom doesn't listen to this podcast. Yeah.
I think that comes to an important point because a lot of people think I'm going to do the 1 week cruise and that's going to be the end of my trip, but you will have seen such a small corner of Alaska, that it really is. If you can spare 2 weeks at least,
10 days at least.
Yeah, get up into the country a little bit, up into the land. It's huge. I mean, it's a huge, huge place.
Go stay in a lodge in Denali. Mm-hmm. Go see Mount McKinley. You know, mm-hmm. yeah.
Now I could do a lodge. That'd be cool.
See, yeah.
We'd send you some wine, Amy. Don't worry.
Yeah, think of how cozy a lodge would be. I mean, that's awesome. Yeah, yeah.
And a lot of them have beautiful views of water.
For everybody up there.
My grandmother told me this story. I just saw her last week, and you know, they went, and it's probably been 20 years, but you know, it was a bunch of old people on a bus, and they went all the way up to the Arctic Circle, and she said she was expecting it to be like, you know, a town or something, but they got off and it was a sign that said, "You're in the Arctic Circle." There was nothing there, and so they all got back on the bus. She was so unimpressed. But you can do that. It might not be any bigger now.
I think going above and beyond the Arctic Circle means different things to different people. I think Alaska has so much for just about everybody, really, from children who are excited to see some of the wildlife, and to people who really like the scenic, the wilderness. Right. From the history buffs to transportation enthusiasts with rail and seaplanes.
Yeah, there's
fishing enthusiasts.
There's a lot of
can go deep sea fishing.
Yeah,
salmon fishing. Yeah.
There's a lot of,
and even if you just want to relax, like Amy does, there's lodges. There's, you know, great accommodations, whether it's out in the wilderness or in some of the larger towns and cities. I just think Alaska just has so much going for it.
And people think, I know a lot of people I know think it's very active, and it can be, because you can do zip lines, you can do kayaking, you know, you can get in a kayak and get really close to glaciers and stuff. So
it's as adventurous as you want it to be.
Yeah, you can make it really adventurous or not at all. You know, you can be on that bus going to see the Arctic Circle, if you want.
Or you can be on a train, you know, zipping through the countryside, sipping on your champagne, and yeah. So there's all sorts of levels for sure.
Okay. I think we've touched on some of the many highlights that Alaska has to offer. I hope we've whet your curiosity a little bit. So whether it's thinking about taking a cruise or exploring inland in some of the towns and seeing some of the spectacular scenery and wildlife. Well, that really wraps up our show for this week. So on behalf of Sandy, Amy, Elizabeth, and myself, Andy, thank you for joining us here at Outlander Travel, and we'll see you next week.